The last few weeks, we've been doing a series called Inner Eden. And we talked about managing our heart. The Bible tells us that of all that you guard, guard your heart, for out of it flow the issues of life. Whether you realize it or not, you live out of your heart. You live out of the abundance of your heart. You live out of the lack of your heart. You live out life that's in your heart, or you live out death that's in your heart. And it's up to you to guard it. It's just like a garden. And you don't own it. We're stewards of that grace that God has given us. He has deposited something on the inside of us that is a treasure. Did you know that? It's a treasure. And we take that so for granted sometimes. But God gave us several things that we're to manage. Time, talent, and treasure. But one of the things that He gave us, and I love this, in Psalms 139, it talks about how God meticulously, when we were in our mother's womb, bit by bit, as we were being formed and developed, God was there. And God was involved in that process. And He put within you the personality that you had, the temperament, the talent, the ability. He put that in you. And He put that in you for His purposes. Now, I know we mess it up sometimes, but God made you amazing. He made you unique. And you are amazing. God has a wonderful plan for your life. And I, as I think about that, I think that's a very, very important series that we did about stewardship. When we think about stewardship, we think about money. That's only one third of it. We should manage our money to the glory of God. We should give to God our tithes. We should help those, our fellow man around us. And, you know, and to do that, you have to prosper to do that. But anyway, that's only part of it. Your personality, what God made you, you're supposed to manage that. That's not for your own aggrandizement. That's not for your own self-promotion. That's for you to promote His kingdom and for you to bring honor and glory to His name. And time is another great thing. So I was thinking about personality and all of the things that we are. And I want to segue into this new series that we're going to start today. And it is called Believers. No, One Third Unknown. One Third Unknown. If you look behind it, you see the words G-O-D very faintly. God, One Third Unknown. We're very comfortable with God the Father. We're very comfortable with God the Son. But we're very uncomfortable with the Holy Spirit. So I want to do a series that introduces you to the Holy Spirit and what He is and what He does in our lives. And I think there's several reasons. And that's why we want to talk today. Why do we need to study about the Holy Spirit? And there are several reasons. Number one, I don't know about your background. I know about my background. In my background, I said first service, I was born United Methodist. I wasn't. I was born naked. I went to United Methodist Church when I was a kid. And the only thing that we ever heard about the Holy Spirit was in the Apostles' Creed, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sin, the resurrection of the dead, and life everlasting. I remember, and that's the only thing that I recall. I'm sure the Holy Spirit was mentioned, but we were never taught about the Holy Spirit. In some circles, they're taught, and I know in Miss Nancy's background, our children's pastor, that they were taught that the Holy Spirit is the Word of God. Well, really, that's 180 off, because when you think about it, Jesus Christ is called the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. Jesus is the Word made flesh, not the Holy Spirit. So we've been taught, not taught about the Holy Spirit, or we've been taught wrong about the Holy Spirit. And after I left the Methodist Church, I went among the Assemblies of God. And I learned some things about the Holy Spirit. And I saw some things that were alarming. So here, what you have on this side is either no teaching, wrong teaching, or you have things that are taken to excess. I have been in every kind of service that you can imagine. And I have seen the good, the bad, the ugly. And a lot of times we hear about the excess and we think, well, if that's what that's all about, you know, in the Assemblies of God or the Pentecostals or the Charismatics, they don't say the Holy Spirit, they say the Holy Ghost. And so that's a little spooky. Ghost. So we see a whole myriad of things that would hinder us when it comes to understanding what the Holy Spirit is really all about. Now, I'm going to do a series. It's just kind of an introductory series on the person and the work of the Holy Spirit, and we're going to offer a class on Tuesday nights, and I don't have the dates yet, but on the miraculous part of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to talk about that. And the reason that I want to do that in a class is because, first of all, I only want those who are interested to come. Amen. Number two, I don't want to be misunderstood, so I want to teach it in a smaller group so that you can ask questions. You can't see, it would just be totally out of order for us to just ask questions in this kind of setting. And I don't want to be misunderstood. I have been misunderstood before because I had somebody that visited here and come to see me, and they said, "Now, did you say?" And I didn't say that. Okay, they heard that, or I didn't say it clearly, and they misunderstood what I said. So I don't want to misinform or for people to misunderstand things. So we're going to do this in a smaller setting, and so we're going to introduce that aspect of it. But today we're going to talk about, why do we need to study about the Holy Spirit? See, we don't need to be afraid of the Holy Spirit. We really don't need to be afraid of the Holy Spirit. Let me just say it. The Holy Spirit's not weird. Now, I've seen people act weird. And the Holy Spirit don't make you do anything. If somebody says the Holy Spirit made me, they lied. Holy Spirit don't make you do anything. Okay? Well, that's just a whole other subject, but we'll cover that sometime. But why do we need to study the Holy Spirit? And I want to give you, and this, the first reason is because he's been so misrepresented in the church world. He really has, in all of them. There's very little balance when it comes to the teaching of the Holy Spirit. Either it's neglected. You know, it's Father, Son, and what's his name? really, one third unknown. Because we're, like I said, we're very comfortable with Father. We're really comfortable with Jesus. And then we're very uncomfortable with the Holy Spirit. And a lot of it is because we've not been taught. If we've been taught, we've been taught wrong, or we've seen things that turned us off. And I just want to say, the Holy Spirit doesn't turn people off. Now, he convicts. There's people who reject and are offended by the work of the Holy Spirit, and I'm talking about his conviction. I'm not talking about people acting up. But the Holy Spirit doesn't do that. He's just not that. Okay, so he's been denied, minimized, taken to extremes, and depersonalized. The Holy Spirit is not a it. How would you like to be called an it? Well, there's old George. He's a it. Well, I think, he's a it. He's been neutered. I mean, and by and large, we've referred to the Holy Spirit as an it. The Holy Spirit is a personality. He is the person. He's a person. and he is a he. That's what the Bible calls him, a he. Okay. So why do we study? Because he's been so misrepresented in churches. Number two, there's virtually no Christian life without the Holy Spirit. There's really not. Without the Holy Spirit, Christianity is dry, monotonous, mundane, and it morphs into just a dead religion where there's no life whatsoever. So we need that. And I'm just not talking about when you go to church. I want to tell you something. And I have been among the Methodists. I've been among the Assemblies. I've been among the Free Pentecostals. I have been among the Charismatics and the Word of Faith. And I've been among a bunch of them. I've been to Benny Hinn meetings. And I've been to a lot of different things. But one of the problems that most of us full gospel people, and I include myself in that, is that we have relegated the Holy Spirit only to the church service. But if you read the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit is more active outside the church than he is inside the church. Now I want y'all to listen to me. If the only time that you ever react is when you're in church, then you don't understand the Holy Spirit. And I don't have time to get, we'll get into some of this in the book of Acts where the Holy Spirit manifests. But the Holy Spirit is just as real in your daily life as he is when we come together to worship. And I really think that when we worship, God's presence is here. And I know last, I pick at the first service because they're quiet. You know, they're too quiet. Sometimes y'all too loud. And I'm thinking, okay, we need to rub them on each other. But the first service a few weeks ago, I left my seat and walked back down the aisle, had to go do something. And first service is usually pretty laid back and quiet. But I looked back and I saw one of our members during the singing part just weeping and worshiping God. And I thought, yay, God. It's the Holy Spirit. But let me say this. The Holy Spirit is not just about weeping. The Holy Spirit's also about the deep work as we're quiet. As we're quiet in his presence. And I know, and this is one of the things that we believe God for, that when we're up here speaking or we're up here singing, that the Holy Spirit is active among you to say to you what needs to be said and to minister grace and life to you. And sometimes you're sitting there very quietly. In fact, listen, I love those quiet moments when the Holy Spirit ministers to me. And it's just me and him. So the Holy Spirit is not just something that happens at church. The Holy Spirit is present with us 24 hours a day. In fact, if you study the Bible, now listen to this. If you study the Bible, in the Old Testament, you'll see that it mainly talks about God. And we get the sense that it's talking about Father God, Jehovah, Yahweh, or whatever the right pronunciation is. And we basically see in the Old Testament the workings of God as he dealt with the children of Israel. Before the New Testament, after Malachi and until the time that Jesus came into the world, in the 33 years that he was here, we see mainly the Son of God. And Jesus said something before he left. He said, said to his disciples, I'm going away. And they were sad. But he said, you know what? It's going to be better for you when I go away. Because if I go away, I'm going to send another comforter. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. And he's going to be, not only is he going to be with you, he's going to be in you. And So we see that on the day of Pentecost that the church was born and the Holy Spirit was poured out. And from that point forward in the book of Acts through the epistles and all of the writings, we don't see that Jesus is the active one or that God the Father is the active one. See, God the Father is seated in heaven on a throne. Jesus is seated at his right hand. Well, guess who you deal with? Guess who's in the earth that deals with you? And that's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so we need to become aware about the presence and the work of the Holy Spirit in the believer's life. And we're going to look at that. So there's virtually no Christian life without the Holy Spirit. Our works become draining and wearisome, and there's no fellowship with God. Now, 2 Corinthians 13:14 says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen." Let me ask you a question. You don't have to answer, but just in your own mind. How long has it been since you've just communed with you and the Holy Spirit? How long has it been? I mean, we say, "Father, I love you. Father, I worship you. Jesus, I love you. I worship you." When is the last time that you told the Holy Spirit that you loved him? Amen. Well, we're not supposed to worship the Holy Spirit. Really? Really? I heard somebody say one time, it said, "You know, we're not supposed to talk about the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit doesn't speak of himself." And I thought, well, that's just pretty dumb. Jesus didn't talk about himself. You know who Jesus talked about? He talked about the Father. The Father doesn't really, you know, in the New Testament, we see the Father not talking about himself. What happened when Jesus was baptized? He spoke from heaven, said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." The Father doesn't just talk about himself. And the Holy Spirit doesn't talk about himself. He reveals Jesus. See, there is a working among God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. See, a lot of people think that God created Jesus and God created the Holy Spirit. That's not true. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are co-equal and co-eternal. The Father is God, Jesus is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. And none of them are more important than the other. They work together in such a beautiful harmony and a symphony that they, you know, and they don't get jealous with each other. They really don't. They're just not jealous. So when we look at the Trinity, and we, this church, we believe in the Trinity. I can't always explain it. I mean, we have other groups that don't believe in the Trinity. They believe that Jesus was the Father and Jesus was Jesus and Jesus is the Holy Spirit. Well, they're all one, but they're three, and they're three, but they're one. I don't know how we wrap our heads around that. It's very hard to take an infinite being and explain to a finite mind. We have tremendous brains, and you know, man has never been able to create anything or make anything that parallels the human brain. But God is so vast that we can't even comprehend him, even with the human brain that we have. And there's just some things we have to accept by faith. But God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they're all God. They're co-eternal. They're co-equal. In fact, if you go back to creation in Genesis chapter 1, we see that God was the mastermind of creation. Okay. And God said, the word went forth. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit was hovering over the face of the deep. So what happened when God said, "Let there be light"? The Holy Spirit took the word, took something that was in the spiritual realm, and brought it into the natural realm. And this is what the Holy Spirit does. He takes things that are in the spiritual realm, and he brings them into the natural realm. Now, here's another illustration. Listen to this. The angel came to Mary. And Mary, he said, Mary, you're highly favored of God. You've been chosen. And the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. And the thing conceived in your womb is going to be the Son of God. And what Mary said after a conversation, she says, be it unto me even as you have spoken. Okay? Be it unto me even as you have spoken. So what happened? When she received the word of God, the Holy Spirit took the word, which was the seed of Jesus, and caused that to be conceived in her womb and brought something that was in the spiritual realm and gave it an entry into the natural realm. And that's part of what the Holy Spirit does, part of his work, is bringing things from the spiritual realm into the natural realm. So we can say by that not only do we have fellowship with the Holy Spirit, but without the Holy Spirit, there's no revelation. And what happens is the Word becomes lethal. Have you ever been around Christians that they use the Bible as a weapon? Now, it is a weapon, but it's a spiritual weapon. It's not a whip. It's a sword. But it's the sword of the Spirit. It's not the sword of your tongue. And there's a lot of people that want to be legalistic with the Word of God. We got two problems in the church world today. And this is what we're dealing with. We have people on one hand that really don't believe the Scripture. They'll tell you. You know, the Bible's full of fables and it contradicts itself. But then on the other hand, all it is rules and regulations. Where's the truth at? The truth is what the Holy Spirit brings, and he brings a balance because, you know, the Word does cut. And the Holy Spirit does convict. And so so what we need is the Holy Spirit to reveal the Word of God to us. And without the Holy Spirit, we don't really have any kind of revelation. And the Scripture says this. It says in 2 Corinthians 3:16, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So if there's no revelation, then there's no vision. Where does vision come from? Vision comes from the Holy Spirit. See, Jesus, before he left the earth, he proclaimed the vision to the church. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believes not shall be damned. See, we have a great commission. Our commission is to go into the world and make disciples, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded. See, that's the vision that Jesus projected to the apostles. And one of the Holy Spirit's job is to show us that vision, how we fit in that. What is our part? You know, the world's big. There's a lot of need in the world. There's people crying out, come help us, help us. And you really have to know where to go and where not to go. See, that's one of the things that the Holy Spirit shows us. He brings vision to us. And we need that in our life. Without the Holy Spirit, there's no joy. There's no peace. See, Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. See, God is not interested in us living by a law. If we're in proper relationship with him and the Holy Spirit sowing into our life, there's a fruit that comes out of us, and it's love, joy, peace, faithfulness, temperance. And so without the Holy Spirit, that's not even possible. There's no freedom without the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, "For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." There's freedom. I've been in churches where there's no freedom. It's just a ritual. I've been in churches where there's, well, it's not really freedom because it's just chaos. Spirit of God's not in chaos, and he's not in just ritual. He's in true freedom. There's freedom. There's a liberty. There's life there, and that's what we're all about. And here's the last thing, that without the Holy Spirit, there's no spiritual life. There's no new birth. You know who got you born again? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. We're going to read John chapter 3, verse 6. Not 16, but 6. And this is Jesus. He says, "Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life." See, what happens when you hear the Word of God, the Word of salvation? Here's what happens. And you accept that. And you say the words, "Jesus, come into my life. Come into my heart. I repent of my sin. I turn my life over to you." Now listen to me. "I turn my life over to you. I give you my heart. Jesus is Lord." You know what the Holy Spirit does when you do that in faith? He takes you and he baptizes you into Christ. He baptizes you into Christ. That is the Holy Spirit's initial, well, that's not his first work, but that's the work that brings you into spiritual life. You'll never be born again without the Holy Spirit. And see, right now as we're speaking, I'm trusting that the Holy Spirit is speaking to hearts. That if you're here today and you do not know him as Lord of your life, that the Holy Spirit is drawing you right now. And there's no reason for you not to receive eternal life. If you believe on him, you can have eternal life. It is a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. As we end this service today, I'm going to ask my prayer team to come. We're going to pray about whatever needs you have, but I want to dial in right now on spiritual life. And see, you need to know, first of all, not only does your Father love you, not only does Jesus Christ love you, he loved you and he died for you. But right now, you need to know that the Holy Spirit loves you, and he's dealing with your heart right now to reveal Jesus Christ to you. You can leave this place today knowing that you can have spiritual life. You can have it today. Now listen to me. Everybody listen. He's speaking to some people here today, right now. So you be reverent to that. Right now, the Holy Spirit is dealing with hearts right now. And I'm going to pray. And as we pray, I want you to respond and come. And they can pray with you to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior right now. You can experience this birth of being baptized into Christ. We call it being saved or being born again. Or if you've known him and gotten away from him, that's the Holy Spirit drawing you back into a relationship with him. You can trust him today. So as I pray, you respond to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. It's not me talking to you. You know in your heart. You know in your heart if he's drawing you. Don't push him away. Let him do his work. Father, thank you today. Thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit, that you come to give us life and to give us life abundantly. We love you today, Father. We love you today, Jesus. We love you today, Holy Spirit, for all of the work that you do. Draw people to you, I pray. We've lifted your name, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, draw people to you. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you come?